Thank you, Brother Ziegler, and ditto. That was good. I've had a great time this week, and I thank you for everything. It's been a joy to be together, and thank you so much for all the good food and fun and fellowship and your prayers. Appreciate those most of all. Thank you so much. When I'm praying for each service, I usually pray it this way. I say, Lord, you've heard all those prayers that have been prayed. Answer every one of them. So, depending on you, and I felt it, and I appreciate it so much. This is a wonderful, wonderful church. You are blessed. You are blessed in so many ways. And it's been a blessing to me to be here with you and to worship together. And it's so good to be with the Zieglers. I just kind of like them really well. They're pretty nice people, you know. Good looking. I'll tell you what the bill is later, but yeah, they're great people. They really are. I really appreciate them so much. And I tell you what, I appreciate Chad making up some more bookmarks for me. I was out of them, or practically out, and boy, he made some really nice bookmarks, the nicest I've ever had, with those 10 things on them, and then he made some refrigerator magnets. Thank you, Ted. I really appreciate that. Boy, those are really first class. My goodness. I feel like my industry just went up another notch, you know. That's great. Yeah, thanks for the offering. Thanks for everything. Love you all. Consider yourselves hugged until you get the real thing. Oh, my. You've probably heard enough of this verse, but I really like it. It's my life's verse, and I want to talk about it tonight. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. Let's pray. Oh God, it's me again, and I have told you so many times that I need your help, and I do need it again tonight. And I ask, Lord, that your Spirit would quicken us, that you would stimulate our thinking and stir our hearts, and may our time together tonight prove to be a real blessing. May your name be glorified, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this verse, of course, is couched in a very important scene, and it's the story of King Asa. You'll find that in chapter 14, 15, and 16. And King Asa of Judah, in verse 2 in chapter 14, it says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of his God." Wouldn't that be a great thing to be said about us? I would like that to be said about me. Rowan Fay did that which was good and right in the eyes of his God. I don't know that I can think of a better compliment or commendation than that. What a tremendous statement it is. Just think about it. And he did that which was good and right in the eyes of his God. You know, in fact, I like to do things that people appreciate. You know, people. I like to do things that my wife appreciates. You know, every once in a while I buy her a couple of roses, you know, and bring them home, and I just kind of like doing that. By the way, that reminds me, I haven't done that for a while. I need to do that when I get home. I like to do things that she likes. And, in fact, some time ago, I bought her some roses, not cut roses, but to plant in the backyard. And she really likes yellow roses, so I bought her some yellow roses. And I tell you what, that paid off. That was kind of a good deal, a good investment, you know. But I really, really, really like to do things that I think please the Lord. And what a statement. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 3, it says he destroyed idol worship. Verse 4, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord and to obey the commandments. In verse 9, we have an army of 1,000,000 that came against him, and he was outnumbered almost 2-1. Well, he was in trouble. His own army was only 580,000 men. And in verse 11, this is key to understanding this these three chapters, but he cried out to God, and God gave him a tremendous victory. What I want to talk to you about tonight is this. God enjoys the impossible. And in that particular instance, that's exactly what God did. God did the impossible. You don't defeat an army of a million with 580,000. But they did. Because God enjoys the impossible. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, Azariah told Asa in verse 2, "The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Verse 4, "When they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them." Great principle here. Back to the basics again tonight. But when you seek God to help you, that's exactly what God does. Why don't we do it? Why do we try to solve our problems in every other way? Whenever we run into difficulty, we are to call on the name of the Lord. And he did that. He called on the name of the Lord when he was in difficulty. And that's exactly what we need to do. Whatever the problem is, whatever the trouble is, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, we need to call on the Lord. All right? And verse 12, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their heart and with all of their soul." Verse 19, "So they had peace until Asa's 35th year in office." Then in chapter 16, verse 1, we find that King Baasha came against him. Verse 2, "Asa called on Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, instead of calling on God." Uh-oh. Here's where we always get in trouble. You see, previously when he got in trouble, he called on God. Now he's in trouble again, but instead of calling on God, he calls on the king of Syria. You know, it amazes me that we can learn a lesson and yet so quickly unlearn it. You know, young people, I hope this grips your heart tonight, because I know that you've learned some great lessons. Now, there's new lessons to learn, but don't unlearn the lessons that are so basic to your faith. Don't let anybody tamper with the structure of your faith. Amen? Don't unlearn the great lessons you've already learned. This, to me, is so pathetic. It is so sad. And I've seen this in people's lives where God did such wonderful things for them. And yet they turned around and walked away from the very source of victory. I don't get it. I know it's a trick of the enemy. And I guess my warning to you tonight is don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Wow. Verse 7. "The seer said to Asa, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the king escaped." You see, he had victory right within his own grip. It was right there. It was right there in front of him. But because he failed to depend on God, he lost it. Paul, I tell you what, I don't want to lose what I've got. I don't want to lose the joy. I don't want to lose my sense of victory. I've asked God to build a fire in my heart, and I don't want to lose that. I really don't. But I'll tell you what, I could lose it. I've asked God to put a passion in my soul, and I believe I have it, but I could lose it. I don't want to. There's a burning in my heart tonight that I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose that. And I prayed before I came to the service tonight that God would keep the fire fanned and fuel it and just keep it burning. I don't want it. I don't want the light or the fire or the passion. I don't want it to go out. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to be a pessimist. I just want to be a realist. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't maintain it by accident. You don't keep it by accident. I don't want my name blotted out. You know, in Revelation, and we read that this morning, you know, if we're not careful, our names can be blotted out. Some people don't believe that, but they never read Revelation, apparently. But if we obey God and keep the fire burning in our heart, God said, I won't blot your name out. Well, if he said, I won't blot your name out, then there's a possibility that we could have our name blotted out. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, I will blot your name out. And then in another place, he said, I will blot your name out. Another place said, I won't blot your name out. I want to keep my name there. Well, how do we do that? Young people, you must keep the fire burning. We must increase and possess and maintain the passion. Boy, I tell you what. I want to be positive. I don't want to be negative, but it terrifies me. It's scary. And I heard one man preach that we're more likely to make it to heaven if we live half scared. So I guess maybe it's good for me to feel this way, but it terrifies me to think that I might lose the fire, lose the passion out of my life. I can lose anything else, but I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose my love for God. Amen. I was counseling with a couple that were really looked like their marriage was on the rocks. It just broke my heart. The lady said, I don't know what happened, Brother Faye, but I just don't love him anymore. Yes, I don't know. I don't know what to do for people like that. I don't know. I thank God tonight they're still together. Wouldn't it be awful to say, I don't love God anymore? Or for God to look down and say, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're just lukewarm, so I'm just going to spew you out of my mouth. God said, I would you were hot or cold. You know, I believe in our day and age, Pastor, one of the greatest challenges we have is to keep the fire burning. Well, I tell you what, I want the Lord to help me. Oh, I want Him to help me. I don't want to get to the point that Asa did where my attention is diverted to something or someone other than God. I want to maintain my continual dependence upon the Holy Spirit, my dependence upon God, and I want Him to keep the fire burning in my heart. The good news here tonight is that God really does enjoy the impossible. Verse 9, again. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward Him. God wants to demonstrate His strength in our behalf. One of the saddest pictures that I can picture in my mind is an unemployed God. Think about it. God's in heaven, and He's got all this tremendous power and all of these unlimited resources, and we go other places to get it. And so God looks down from heaven, and He's got all this power he wants to demonstrate. And he's got all these resources that he wants to give. And we don't even ask for them. We think we're going to make it on our own. Folks, we can't make it on our own. And so continually, and as long as we live, and I know we talked about this, but it's just burning on my heart. I believe with all of my heart we're going to have to continually be seekers after God. You know, the Apostle Paul knew the Lord, but he said, "Oh, that I may know Him." It wasn't that he didn't know Him, but he wanted to know Him more. And he wanted to continue to discover more about Him. And God enjoys the impossible. Have you given Him any challenges lately? How pathetic. God is in heaven and He wants to do all these things for us. And that's where this verse, is, to me, is so applicable to human nature. Or to where we are and what we need to see. You know, the eyes of the Lord. And they're searching. And right tonight, they're searching. God's looking. And He's looking for somebody that has a heart for Him. He's not looking for beauty, bronze, or brains. He's looking for a heart. And anybody can have that kind of heart. You know, there's a lot of things I don't have. But if I know my heart tonight, Pastor, I've got a heart for God. And if I thought that was getting weak, I'd be the first one to the altar tonight. Because I believe a heart for God is probably the greatest thing any person can have. There's a lot of talent I don't have. I have very limited abilities. That's not hypocritical humility, really. I'm overrated. I'm not as good as you think I am. I'm kind of a dud. I really am. But I'll tell you what. I do have a heart for God. And, you know, if I ever lose that, I'm in trouble. And I want God to help me. And as a closing service in this revival meeting, I want God to help all of us together. I hope there's a kind of a community spirit here that says, "Oh God, we want You and we want all You have for us." And if you have any insurmountable challenges tonight, I hope this message encourages you. I want you to know God enjoys the impossible. Amen. God, help me tonight. I want to be sure not to leave anything out, but I don't want to insert anything that I don't need because I want to get all I can in the time I've got. But, you know, allow me to do a little reflecting. I look back when I drove a van to pick up boys and girls, and I got 18 kids in a 12-passenger van, and I came home, and I was crying. I said, "Oh, God, I've got to have a bus." I had other kids that wanted to ride to Sunday school, and I had no more room. And I begged God. I said, "Oh God," and we didn't have any money. I said, "Oh God, please give me a bus." A man walked up to me. He said, "God spoke to me. He said to buy you a bus." Huh? Oh boy, thank God. So he bought me a bus, and we got that filled. We got 100 kids on one bus, and I know your bus drivers think that's probably naughty, but we did it. And I prayed. I said, "Oh God, I need another bus. I had more kids that wanted to come, and I needed another bus." I probably told you this, but let me just tell you again. I love to look back and see times when God did the impossible. We did not have any money. And I remember praying, and I said, "Oh God," it was Friday afternoon, or Friday morning. I mean, it was Friday morning. I said, "Oh God, it's Friday. If You'll give me $1,000, I know where I can get a bus for $1,000. But I didn't have 10 cents. I said, "But if you'll give me $1,000, and if you'll give it to me by noon, I'll get it licensed and insured, inspected and registered, and have it rolling Sunday morning." And I started praying about 7:30 that morning, and I kept praying. I said, "Lord, it's 8 o'clock. You know,
Yes, I thought he couldn't tell time. And I kept praying. I said, oh God, these kids, they don't know about Jesus. They don't know they can be saved. They don't realize they're going to go to hell if they don't get saved. Lord, please, if you'll give me $1,000, I'll have that bus rolling this week. And I kept praying. And I said, Lord, it's 9 o'clock. And I kept praying. I said, oh God, I need a bus so bad. Lord, it's 9:30. And I kept praying. I said, dear God, please give me a bus. And Lord, it's 10 o'clock. And I kept praying. I said, oh God, please. I need a bus so bad. And Lord, it's 10:30. And I kept praying. I said, oh God, please. It's 11 o'clock. Would you please? At 27 minutes after 11, the phone rang. And a lady that didn't attend our church from another city said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and told me to give you $1,000 for a bus. I turned my living room couch into a trampoline. Oh, what a joy it is when God does the impossible. And He loves the impossible. We got that bus full, and I was praying for another bus. And I remember I was taking a load of young people to the bus, ACE convention. And I'm praying all the way to Glens Falls, New York. I kept praying, oh God, I need another bus. I need another bus. I got to Glens Falls. I dropped the kids off, and my wife had followed me in the van. And I got in the van, and I headed back toward home. And I stopped at a Long John Silver's for some supper. And there was a family across the on the other side of the restaurant, and I finished my meal, and over and I talked to them. They said, we heard about your bus ministry. How's it going? And I said, oh, I said, wonderful. But I said, we need another bus so bad. The lady said, well, what would it take to get another bus? I said, I found one for $1,300. She pulled out her checkbook. She slid it across the table, and she told her husband to make me out a check. I love obedient husbands, you know. And he wrote me out a check for $1,300. And I went home, and I got another bus, and got that full of boys and girls. And we kept working on this thing and got that bus full. And I was driving down the boulevard there in Whitesboro and Oriskany Boulevard, and there was a coach sitting out there. Now, that's not a school bus. I'm talking about a coach, you know, all aluminum body and a Detroit diesel engine pusher and air suspension and air-controlled doors. And I mean, this was a fancy. And I don't know what possessed me, but I pointed at that bus and I said, dear God, give me that bus right there. And next day I went down to see the president of Central New York Coach Company, and I told him, our buses were full, I need another bus, would you have one? He said, yeah, there's one right down front, let's go look at it. So we walked down the steps and out to where his bus was, and I'm walking up and down his bus, drooling all over the man's bus, and it's just beautiful. And he said, well, what do you think? I said, I love it. I mean, now, we're not talking $1,000. We're talking about many, many thousands of dollars. I mean, this is a beautiful piece of equipment. And I said, you know, how much? Well, he said, I'll tell you what, Reverend. I really like what you're doing. He said, if you want this bus, you can have it for $1,000. I said, praise God, we'll take it. And then it dawned on me I didn't have the $1,000. And I said, you know, I said, I got to be honest with you, Mr. Sweet. I said, we don't have $1,000, but I said, God gave us all of our buses. And I said, somehow he'll give us this one. In fact, I said, if you'll give it to us, I'll give you a tax receipt for whatever it's worth. Well, he said, let me think about that. And so I left, and I had to leave town. In fact, I went to Indianapolis, I guess, to speak at an outreach convention. And I got home, and I went racing right down to Central New York Coach Company. And I walked in. I asked the receptionist, can I see Mr. Sweet? She said, no. She said, he's not here, but the treasurer of the corporation is expecting you. I said, oh. So I went in and sat down in this nice office. And this guy, this treasurer, said, well, no, Reverend, he said, we had a meeting with our accountant. And he said, we can't give it to you. And my heart sunk. I didn't have any money. But he said, what we can do is we'll sell it to you, and then the difference between, and by the way, I'm not a tax man, but this is what happened. He said, whatever we sell it to you for, the difference between that and what it's worth, we can write off as a tax loss. He said, Do you think you can give us $50? Fastest draw in the East, man. I tell you what, I pulled out a checkbook and I wrote him a check for $50. And then he told his head mechanic to back it up to the fuel tanks, and he put $150 worth of diesel fuel in it before he gave it to us. I went home and turned my living room couch into a trampoline again. You can see why I have to keep buying new couches. Oh, God loves to do the impossible. He really does. When are we going to get it? He really loves to do the impossible. He'll do it in your life. He'll do it for your family. He'll do it for this church. You know what? We live in a day when we need to see God doing the impossible. And we need to stop doing like Asa, where we transfer our attention to other things and other people. We need to focus on God and make sure that God knows that we know that we know that He can do what it is that we need to have done. Wow. God wants us to believe in Him. You don't make God panic. Did God panic when Elijah had those boys pour all that water on that sacrifice? Did God say, "Easy on the water, boys"? You know, don't get that too wet. I mean, I gotta make this thing burn, you know. No, God didn't panic. In fact, you know what He said? Go get some more. Gonna get this dude really wet. I mean, soak it good, because I'm gonna hit it dead on, you know. Oh, I love that picture. God enjoys the impossible. Praise the Lord. Oh, I like this one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that? Don't you love those stories? I just love them. And the king was really ticked. He said, "Look, you're going to bow, or you're going to bend, or you're going to burn." And no, we're not going to do it, you know. And you know the story. And he got really ticked. And he said, "Okay, guys, I want you to heat that furnace up really. Get it really hot." Did God say, "Easy on the heat"? Did God panic and say, hey, boys, cool that furnace down a little bit? No, I think God loved it. Go ahead, boys, stoke her good. I'm coming down on this one. And so God came down and walked with him in the furnace. God doesn't panic when we ask God to do big things. Oh, I like this one. Lazarus is dead. And he stinks. God enjoys the impossible. Jesus takes his time getting there. You know the story. This is so good. Did the Father say to the Son, "Better hurry up, son. You know, this is getting harder"? No. In fact, I think God the Father kind of slowed him down a little bit. "Let's make this a good one, Jesus." You know? And so Jesus comes along and says, "Lazarus." And it's a good thing he said Lazarus, or they'd all come running. Everybody in those tombs would have been out of there. Amen. God doesn't panic. God enjoys the impossible. Oh, I like this one. Gideon. He's outnumbered 3-1 already. He's got 32,000 men. And God says, "Send 22,000 of them home." Don't you love these stories? Well, I do. Wow. "Sorry, Gideon, you still have too many. I want you to send 9,700 more home." He's down to 300. God enjoys the impossible. And God worked a great miracle. Praise the Lord. I like this one. I don't want to offend you. Please, don't be offended. Just love me, okay? Just love me. I don't know how else to say it, but to say it this way. When I get to heaven, I hope the Lord has some videos.
Or somehow, I'd like to see some of these things. You know, I'd like to have a rerun on some of this. I'd like to see Moses, you know, putting that rod out there. I'd like to literally see that water pile up over here and the water pile up over here, you know. Wouldn't that be great to see that? You know, I'd like to see Lazarus doing one of these, you know. Oh, my. You know, the things that God has done. And the thing that really thrills me is that God still likes to do these kind of things. I really like the scene where the church is praying for Peter in prison. Oh, I like that. You know, I can just picture that whole thing. You know, here the church is bombarding heaven. Oh, God, deliver Peter from prison. And Rhoda hears something, you know. And so she runs downstairs and she peeks, and there's Peter. So she runs back upstairs. Hey, Peter's at the door. Rhoda, we're praying. Oh, God, deliver Peter from prison. But he's at the door. Rhoda, don't be irreverent. We're praying. Oh, God, deliver Peter from prison. And Rhoda finally gets their attention. He's already here. God enjoys the impossible. Oh, I just love it. I just love it. I just love it. I just love it. Oh, my. Wow. And we talked about this, and this is another one. I really would love to see all these. I love it when Caleb brought his little lunch to Jesus, you know, and said, you know, actually gave it to Andrew and Andrew gave it to Jesus. But Jesus took, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this is just so awesome. And he blesses the fish and blesses the food, blesses the bread, and he just starts breaking it off. Then say there's a big pile of it, he just starts breaking it off. And they start serving it. There's so many lessons in that story. I love it. There's a lot of lessons in that story. You know, one of the things about that story that's really interesting is the fact that the Lord told them to sit on the green grass. Remember that? And I can almost hear somebody saying, I want to sit on this rock over here. People are so independent. You know, and he said, and I want you to sit down in groups of 50. And I can hear somebody say, my cousin's over there. I want to go over there. That's human nature. I don't know how God puts up with us. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and I can hear somebody else say, I'm going to get mine directly from Jesus. And I can hear Peter saying, buddy, you take it from me or you ain't getting any. You know, I mean, some people are, they're so, you know, they're super spiritual. They're going to get there directly from the Lord. Hello? You know, some people can't be told anything. I got tired of people sitting in the back in my church. And so I roped off the back seats. But you know what they did? They climbed over the ropes, you know. It's just amazing. Aren't people funny? You know, people are funnier than anybody I know. You know, they're just funny. But, you know, all they got is this little lunch. The whole point is, when God blesses something, it's really blessed. When God blesses a man, he's blessed. When God blesses a boy, I love you.
You're a good guy. When God blesses a boy, he's really blessed. And when God blesses a lunch, it's blessed. God enjoys the impossible. I wonder, Pastor, what God would like to do for this church. If we could get a vision of whatever that is, and I don't know what it is, but if we could get a vision of what God wants to do in Martin County, it might blow us away. You know? Have we felt challenged to, oh God, do the impossible? I believe he'd like to. Would we let him do it? Would we let him do it? Did I tell you, I wish my wife was here. I get eye signals from her if I've used illustrations. Did I tell you about Paul Lund? You don't remember? I can go ahead and use it then, okay? Paul Lund was my Sunday school superintendent. And he pulled up to a garage owned by Bill Anneman. Bill Anneman was a fabulous mechanic. I mean, one of the best I ever knew. And he pulled his car up in front of the garage. He said, Bill, come here. I want you to listen to my car. So, you know, he sat there and the engine was running and it was knocking. And so Paul said to Bill, what do you think? And again, Bill was a very, very knowledgeable mechanic. He listened to that engine and he said, I'll tell you what, Paul, that engine is shot. That engine's history. That thing is bad. You're going to have to either replace it or completely rebuild it. And Paul said, Bill, I don't have any money. And so Paul walked over and he laid his hands on the hood of that car. And he said, Dear God, I don't have any money to fix this car. Would you heal it? And Bill Anneman wasn't even a Christian yet. He got saved later, but he wasn't even saved yet. And Bill told me himself, he said, Brother Fay, I heard the knot go away in that car. And Paul drove that car 100,000 miles after that. God enjoys the impossible. And I'm sure that if you've walked with God very many years, you've seen it happen again. And my prayer is, oh God, do it again. Do it again. That person that's really way away from God and hard and they're rebellious and full of sin and wickedness and just twisted up. You know God can save people like that? God enjoys the impossible. Amen? But he does want us to prove him. He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to test him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And he's looking for an opportunity. Now, there's opportunities all over, but there's a connecting link. Okay? There's lots of places where God could demonstrate his power. But here's the connecting link. He's looking for somebody just like you and somebody like me that will really, really trust him. And then he's going to demonstrate his power in our behalf. God wants to do that in your life. God wants to do that in my life. God wants to show himself strong in our behalf. If we don't do it, if we don't trust him, we leave God unemployed. The saddest picture that I can paint in my mind is an almighty God sitting on the throne in heaven, unemployed. He wants to help us. He has the power to help us. He has all the resources that we'll ever need. But he wants us to have a heart that's really, really connected. And when we really get connected and really depend on him, the results are wow. Amen. I'm having a hard time finding that word stop. If my wife were here, she'd say amen. I got a couple more stories I want to tell you, but I really think, maybe I've said it. God enjoys the impossible. I hope, folks, that as this meeting comes to a close, that there will have been a couple of principles that will stick in our minds, that we'll remember. You don't need to remember Rowan Fay, that's immaterial. But if you can remember that God enjoys the impossible, it might help us to pray some bigger prayers. The Bible tells us we're to ask largely. And we're to sow abundantly. You see, if we sow a lot, we'll reap a lot. We sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. Oh, that God would help us to have a bigger picture of what he wants to do. Amen. God, expand our vision. Lord, help us to see a bigger picture. God enjoys the impossible. What God could do through this congregation is mind-boggling. Just go through your Bible and see what God sometimes did through one person that trusted him. What would he do through a whole church full of people that had a heart perfect toward him? Wow. That gives me goosebumps, Ron. Whew. Think what God could do if this whole church really trusted God for something bigger than we can produce. If all we ever do is what we can do, we haven't even begun to tap the resources that are available to us. But if we could somehow see the potential that we have by being connected to somebody that infinitely has everything we'll ever need. Wow. Shall we stand? Oh God, I want you to help me. Help me to never be guilty of having a small view of God. Oh God, help me to have a bigger view of you. Help me to realize more than ever before that you enjoy the impossible. Lord, there's some big things right now that I'm thinking about that I want you to do. Lord, I want you to help me to trust you to do those very big things. Lord, they're way bigger than me. They're way bigger than anything I can do. But Lord, I believe you can. And I'm asking you to do those things tonight. And Lord, I'm asking you to bless this church. I'm asking you to bless this pastor and these people. And oh God, may we see the mighty power of God. Your ability, not ours. Your strength, not ours. Your might, not ours. But oh God, make us channels through which that power can flow. May every one of us be instruments in your hands, that you might accomplish that which will glorify God and advance your kingdom, and will give you the glory and the praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with 40 people before you leave.